Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Happy week one of college football. We have an absolutely breathtakingly fantastic week of college football ahead after what was a modest toe-in-the-water weekend of college football. Today on the radio show, though, we're going to have the fight song roundup. It's a little thin, I'll be honest. But listen, anytime we have an opportunity here on this Jeff Gawkins show to play fight songs, we will take advantage of it. And so we will do that in the next segment and look forward to a whole season of fight song roundup ahead where we honor those teams that deserve to be honored for their performances of the past weekend. We're then going to have Chris Harrington joining us straight up at 10 o'clock. And we will talk about the week that is to come. Joined by Jeffrey Wright, though. Before anything else, Jeffrey, you had quite a weekend. You had quite a weekend.
Quite a walk-off, debut. Jeff.
Quite a start by your out. You know what? You know what? Just we're not going to include him in the fight song roundup because, you know, it's a college.
Yeah,
thing,
absolutely.
Right? But MUS must have a fight song, right? Fight song?
I certainly think so.
Well, explain to the people who may not have been paying as close attention as they should have why we are playing it this morning. What transpired for your beloved MUS Owls, and how was your call anyway?
Jeff, I have no idea if Bartlett or MUS are going to be very good football teams this year. But I do know that they played a very good football game on Friday night, and the Owls, on the final play of the game, Price Renovich found Tanner Sherman for 37 yards and a score and walked it off 23-17.
That is unbelievable. They're on the 37.
Correct. So we have a very good kicker.
So
there's 3.8 seconds, but that was also another to do because we ran like an out pattern that should have stopped the clock, but then the clock went down to like 1 second and they knew, okay, well, that's not right. But we struggled to get the 3.8 seconds onto the board. So we then ended up, the clock keeper really did some amazing work. He went to 1 minute and started counting down and then like had to stop it right at 3.8, and he was able to do so.
That's tough on the first week of the season.
That's, you know, again, you didn't rep that. You did not rep that in scoreboard.
Had to stop at 3.8?
Correct. Had to stop it at 3.8. Did a lovely job on that. So we have a very accurate kicker, Josh Whitburg, but we're not trying to hit like 50-something yarders. So we're in kind of that no man's land of probably not enough time to run one more play, either get out of bounds or call our last time out and try to set up the field goal.
What was the score at this moment?
It's 17-all at this point.
Okay.
And so really the only choice was, all right, make sure, like, let's just chunk it to the end zone. If they pick it off or whatnot, just make the tackle, but we'll go to overtime. And Price Renovich did a great job avoiding the pass rush. Stepped up, made one guy miss, and just let it fly. and then Sherman was down there. Kind of there was like two defenders kind of around him. It wasn't poor defense. Like he located the football better, I guess I would say, than the DB, and made the grab and then kind of took a step or two and he was into the end zone.
How was your view and what was your call?
View was pretty good because we're up in the press box and I'm kind of looking at, I can see pretty much the whole play. Brad sent a version of the call. Let's see if I can find it.
This is the first walk-off you've ever called, I presume, right?
Correct. I think it's the first. Like I said, I've been watching MUS football since basically 1997. I remember there was a Germantown game that went to overtime, and we made a stop right at the short of the goal line to win. But I think overtime's a different thing. This is the first play I can remember where clock shows triple zeros, and we ran a play and won.
Obviously mobbed, I take it.
A fantastic. We had an absolutely fantastic dog pile in the end zone.
Now, there's a little, again, it's a magnificent moment. It's a little easier when you're tied, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Down 20.
There's less risk.
Third down,
right,
and three. The Owls going to try to run a play.
Yeah, all right. I've got the call if you want it.
Okay, let's here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is.
Third down and three. The Owls going to try to run a play. Rinovich has pressure. He steps up in the pocket. He's going to fire to the end zone. He's got a man down there. Guard! Touchdown, Owls! Touchdown, Owls! Tanner Sherman grabs it over the head of a defender, and the Owls are going to walk it off with a dog pile in the end zone.
That's damn good, Jeffrey. That's damn good. I will say, there is a certain sound quality of a high school football game that sounds like a high school football game. You know, when you no matter where you're driving across the South or anywhere on this great land on a Friday night, when you turn it on, you know within three syllables that you're listening to a high school football game.
You can feel the crowded press box and that there's no room. And you can hear people talking over each other. There's usually not the option to have the crowd mic'd like you would at a normal broadcast, but yeah, it takes about 3 seconds to recognize, oh, yeah, that's a high school football game.
Does Bartlett have a radio?
They did. We were all in the same press box. I do not know. It's a local radio station, and it's a gentleman that's retired, and he'd been a radio professional for a long time.
But you're not spilling over into each other.
No, they're on the far left end of the press box. We were on the far right end.
And
Bartlett is very
as you are thrilled.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a great football game.
Well, and that's the thing. The story is not written for either of these two.
No, it was game one. You know? And that's the other thing about game one. You have no idea what the context of anything is.
Right. You could have just beaten the state champion.
Yeah.
Right? MUS could have just beaten the state champion, or you could have beaten a team that's going to be incredibly depressing, and you yourself are going to be incredibly depressing.
You have no idea. Like, I remember my senior year, we beat Melrose and the Bridges Kickoff Classic, and it felt like a massive win. Neither team was very good.
Well, that's fun.
It was.
That's
it was awesome.
Fun. Congratulations to the Owls. We do have other folks to congratulate. I want to talk about, well, first of all, let's just take a moment to, maybe we should play, do you have something you could play for Tommy Fleetwood? Because
free at last, Lord God Almighty, I'm free at last.
God Save the Queen or whatever. Like it was.
God Save the King, finishing. Jeff. We're back to the King.
Oh, we're back to the King.
Yeah, I know. In your lifetime, you've probably never heard God Save the King, but yeah, we're back.
Do they change the words?
I think it literally just goes to. I think everything else, if there's some gender.
Everything else is the same?
Yeah.
They say King?
Yes.
But
I believe it's also My Country, Tis of Thee, please.
0-163 on the PGA. Obviously had the got away from here in Memphis just the week before. And he wins the Tour Championship. And the fun part was seeing how much everyone else was excited for him, whether it was Justin Rose, who was videotaping like he was his son, or like he was a, you know, like he was sitting there, he was videoing it in the stands, and you had LeBron tweeting about it, and Caitlin Clark.
Hey, well, LeBron always knew.
What?
LeBron always knew.
LeBron always knew. Mm-hmm. LeBron always knew, of course. But it is. I mean, it's just fun, you know. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Tommy Fleetwood has not led a hard, miserable life. Like, perseverance, that kind of perseverance, oh, I've only won X millions of dollars and have not yet won it. Like, that's not, this is not going into the coal mines every day. That's not that kind of perseverance. But still, it's pretty awesome. Did you not think? Yeah, and that three-shot lead.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Tommy Fleetwood is super easy to root for. Like, there's
everyone likes him. Yeah.
There's no argument there. I did think it was a little over the top. Like, I was happy for him. I like Tommy. But like, that's the other thing is, like, man, when you say anything, like, golf Twitter comes in and it's like, hey, y'all, I've watched way more golf than any of you. I know what I'm talking about here.
And you believe it to be a little over the top.
It was, but at the same time, I think it was also great yesterday.
Perfect story, honestly.
Well, and also, I felt like the tournament had some juice because of it.
Exactly. That I was going to say, at a time when people's attentions really have turned to college football and the NFL and everything.
Yeah, happened, I thought it was a great close.
And whatever. It provided a narrative. I don't know that there's much more interesting that could have happened yesterday. You know, pick a winner who would have been more interesting.
I mean, I guess you could only say, like, if Scotty would have come back, then it would have been, like, just, what an unbelievable year. But he's already had the unbelievable year.
Right. It's just Scotty winning again. That would have been. I don't know that there's anything from the golf perspective that could have happened yesterday.
I mean, I guess maybe Keegan Bradley winning, and then would that have solidified he's for sure going to be on the team, the Ryder Cup team? But I still think Fleetwood was more interesting than all of that.
Fleetwood's more interesting. Because it's from the human perspective.
We like watching people.
The Ryder Cup thing is more a golf story. This is a human story.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Human trumps. All right. So before we'll do the fights on Roundup when we will talk about everything that happened this weekend, the college football that happened this weekend. But you could feel it in the air today. I mean, we talked about it a little bit at the end of last week. Now we're really into fall football weather. And
I mean, there could be some light jackets out in SEC country this weekend.
Has there ever been a week one that is better than this?
In terms of games or weather or both?
No, in terms of that. No, in terms of games. Really, no. Right? Never. No,
I'm struggling to think of one.
No.
So this is a pretty balanced week one in terms of.
Give me your top five most interesting games. You don't have to give them to me in order, but give me your top five most interesting games. And by the way, because we don't have the NFL yet, it starts Thursday and it goes through Monday. And by the way, there are interesting games on Thursday and on Monday. Like, and so we have games Thursday, we have games Friday, we've got games Saturday, we've got games Sunday, and we've got games Monday. It is going to be a college football banquet. Give me five of the most interesting games, and I don't want them all to be the most obvious. But four of them.
Oh, you want me to get down and dirty?
No, no.
How dirty do you want me to get? Because I'll be happy to go there for you.
You do have to include Texas, Ohio State,
right.
and
LSU, Clemson,
and you have to include LSU, Clemson.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say those aren't. You know, but let's start there. So. So we've got Texas and Ohio State Saturday.
At 11 a.m.
And LSU Clemson also Saturday. Are those two the most interesting in addition to being the most high profile? I mean, you got Notre Dame, Miami.
Yeah. I still think, though, if you give me all three and you say you can only watch one or you can only watch two of them, I think I'm probably leaving out Notre Dame, Miami. Does that make me a bad person?
Well, let me ask you this. The first two that you are watching, Texas, Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson, I think those are four teams that could win the national championship playing on that day, right?
I think people have jumped the shark on Clemson, but I get what you're saying. I think people remember Clemson being a lot better than they were last year.
It is funny, though. I'm looking at the mock draft, just filled with Clemson players in the first round. It will be an interesting, hey, maybe this system works, you know, if Clemson is as good as some people think they are. But it's interesting because you got two basically brand new quarterbacks in Texas, Ohio State, and then two deeply experienced quarterbacks in LSU, Clemson.
Yeah, like the reason why people are including LSU and Clemson as potential national title contenders is
they're two quarterbacks.
Their two quarterbacks are back in a year where there's not a lot of experienced quarterbacks.
Does it detract from these two games for you the fact that we know that win or lose, nothing is much like MUS Bartlett, really, that win or lose, nothing is over for any of these teams. We learned last year Ohio State can lose big games and can still win the title.
The being able to lose a game like this doesn't detract because historically, if you play one of these games and lose it, your season wasn't over, but you didn't have a mulligan. But people were willing to give you a mulligan. Where I think it matters is like when Alabama goes to Vanderbilt and loses.
Deep in the season.
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
deep in the season. That loss.
Maybe it should bite you in the ass if you lose to Michigan and you're Ohio State. Maybe at that point you shouldn't be allowed to win the national championship. But I don't think there's any argument that – I actually find it – I think it's good that you can lose this game and still win the national championship because I don't think it's appropriate that someone's season is over this early.
Well, I think we want to incentivize more of these games.
And we want to incentivize these great games. So you've got Texas, Ohio State. And you've got LSU, Clemson. Those would be the two. If you could watch two games this weekend, those are the two.
Those are the two that I'm picking.
All right. Who else are you putting on your?
I mean, I know this is in the no duh category, but like, Bill Belichick is interesting.
I absolutely am including that game in my top five. And by the way, so that's Monday. So you get through this whole weekend of college football.
This is the traditional. Clemson playing like Georgia Tech or Duke on a Monday night, and we're like hungover from all the football.
You got TCU and UNC. That to me is, I mean, if I'm putting aside, you know, I'm super interested in Tennessee. I am super interested in Tennessee, what they're going to look like, what that quarterback's going to look like, right?
Yep.
I'm interested in Memphis because I got no idea. You know, like but you still will have no idea because you're playing Chattanooga.
Exactly.
So, but whatever. I don't even know what these guys look like running around. You know what I mean? Much less how. So I'm interested in that. But yes, if I take aside all my regional biases and my home team yearnings, I don't see how you can't say that. One of the top five most interesting games is Bill Belichick. You're going to see one of the greatest football coaches.
Who else are we putting in it? Lombardi.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I guess George
Chuck Knoll.
Like whatever.
But like this is
Chuck
like my, the was league good. Was so much more competitive and not tilted towards certain teams when Belichick was doing it.
Jimmy Johnson, Landry, who are the greatest coaches ever? You know, there's two.
Yeah, but like he, I don't know. Like, doesn't he get
it is
credit?
Funny though, doesn't he feel cheapened because
yes, absolutely
because
the divorce
and because of Brady. And
well, then
the
Brady
divorce.
Went and won a title away from him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, there's three that are incredibly compelling. Give me another.
All right, so let's do some chronological order. If you really want me to get a little dirty for you.
So we'll go through it. So Thursday, you've got
Boise at South Florida, which is very interesting.
That's interesting. I think South Florida, you know, quarterback was hurt last year. You know, what's South Florida going to look like?
Yep.
I'm fascinated by that. I think Nebraska-Cincinnati is, you know, people think this is going to be the year for
cosplay Nebraska. Mahomes.
You are not intrigued?
I'm intrigued, but I'm also more intrigued by East Carolina and North Carolina State because
They got bad blood.
Yeah, we had a fight breakout.
Was that the military bowl?
Yeah, I think that was the one in Annapolis.
These two played in the military bowl. Let me just make sure that's right. Yeah, it was the military bowl. East Carolina wins 26-21. And then it got ugly afterwards. And you've got quarterbacks who people seem to like. I mean, I can't tell you much about C.J. Bailey or Caden Hauser, but they're both promising. So you like that. You like that.
Anytime you get the in-state G5 versus P4, however, I always think those games are fun.
All right, so that's Thursday.
Thursday. Friday, I think you got to go Auburn-Baylor.
You got to go Auburn-Baylor.
It's a great
this
game.
Is huge.
Yeah.
Great game. And I hate to say it, Jeffrey. I was talking to you about the mock drafts. A lot of Auburn players in those mock drafts.
No, this is going to be one of my toughest tests ever against you because I think they're good.
And the question is Jackson Arnold good?
Yeah, and is Hugh a good enough coach still?
Well, I guess I heard it phrased by someone, is he going to ruin Jackson Arnold? But that's not really fair. He was ruined already in Oklahoma. Like, you know, ruin suggests that he's coming in as
a finished product ready-made. Yeah.
I hope he's not going to get
I agree with you on that. But is he going to make him better? I've never seen Hugh make a quarterback better. Whatever he gets is what he gets.
Sawyer Robertson's good. For Baylor, and they won six of their last seven.
There's a real question of, like, are we going to see, hey, this is the difference between an SEC roster or SEC money roster and a Big 12 money roster?
It's funny. I believe that fundamentally. You know, as someone
But maybe, did. You know what I mean? Maybe we could be wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I tend to agree that I think that's what you're going to see, but what if it's not like Baylor's not poor.
It's funny. Well, I mean, you know, it's not poor, the Big Ten. And who did this? I think The Athletic did if you had the best teams in the SEC play the best, I mean, not the best teams. If you had all the teams in the SEC play all the teams in the Big Ten, who would win, right? And I just find myself, as I went through the matchups, just lean in SEC in all of them.
You can
tell me, but the difference is,
and I don't know if this used to be true 10 years ago. What I used to always say is, give me the SEC's best team and I'll ride with them. I'm not going to bat 1,000, but I'm going to win, you know, 75 to 80% of those. What I think might have flipped now is the best Big Ten team might be better than the best SEC team, but where you're going to really see the difference is, once we start getting to around teams 5 through 14, that's all going to be tilted to the SEC.
Well, weirdly, in these matchups, there's some bad SEC. Like, Mississippi State's bad, you know? You know, and I don't know how good.
But Rutgers they're really the one.
I mean, Kansas is. Here you go. Oh, let's go do it real quick. Ready?
All right.
Here you go. This is their matchups. Texas versus Penn State.
Well, we know Texas.
They had two different staffers filling this out, and both said Texas.
Yeah, I mean, we know Texas at Ohio State's like a 2.5-point dog. So on a neutral, it'd probably be a pick 'em or a slight Texas favorite. So the same thing with Penn State.
Okay, that's SEC. That's SEC one. Georgia versus Ohio State.
I would lean Ohio State in that one.
So did they. Alabama, Oregon.
I would lean Alabama.
So did they. LSU, Illinois.
LSU.
Yeah, so did they. See, what's interesting is, to me, it, weirdly enough, it was the top of the conferences this year that the SEC is better. Florida, Indiana.
Florida.
There they split. They had two people, but I'm with you.
Florida's got way more dudes on that team.
And one of the people picked Indiana. South Carolina, Michigan.
I'd lean Michigan.
Okay, that's fine. But for the top five, you picked an SEC team.
Yeah.
Okay? So then we got Ole Miss, USC.
Ole Miss.
Right?
Boy, would that be fun. Kiffin, play that game in Nella. Oh, God, that would be so much fun.
That was fun, because then you got Oklahoma, Nebraska.
I lean OU.
A&M, Washington.
A&M.
Their poll panel picked Washington. Both of their people did there. Auburn, Iowa.
God, that is, to me, like, I would
give it to Iowa. Just to
it's fine.
Giving them all to Tennessee, UCLA.
Tennessee, boy, that would be fun. Tennessee.
Vandy, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
There they split those. Missouri, Michigan State.
Missouri.
Arkansas, Wisconsin.
Oh, God. Oh, man. They're both, like, they're kind of mirror images of, like, teams that are probably better than you think, but their schedule's brutal. I'd lean Wisconsin, but I also think everyone would lean Wisconsin, and I'd probably bet Arkansas.
Kansas, Rutgers. I mean, Kentucky, Rutgers, I mean.
Oh, gross. That would be a disgusting football game. I'd lean probably Rutgers.
Okay, and State and Maryland.
Maryland.
See, what's interesting is you did the same thing. Right now you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have it 9-7 SEC wins, but SEC had four of the top five, and the Big Ten had three of the bottom four. Normally you would have said the SEC was deeper. Now I don't really know.
To me, there's really only one team in the SEC that I think is not good, and that's Mississippi State. I think the rest of them can all be kind of like a team you don't want to play. Like, you can lose a game. Like, to me, that was the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten last year. If you looked at the Big Ten, the top four, until you got to the last week of the year, the top four teams only lost to each other. They did not lose to anyone below them. Whereas if you looked in the SEC, almost every team at the bottom of the league, with the exception of Mississippi State, every team at the bottom of the league beat one of the teams that was contending for the playoff.
All right, let's turn to Saturday. We talked a little bit about, we had Auburn, Baylor Friday night. Then Saturday, of course, you got Texas, Ohio State, and you've got LSU, Clemson. But then you also have Alabama, Florida State, which is intriguing in theory anyway, right? I mean, Alabama's always interesting, and Florida State, can they get off the mat?
Florida State's opening their new stadium, or their renovated stadium.
Yeah. Syracuse, Tennessee, I think will be really interesting to see. I'm interested in seeing what Tennessee looks like there. You got transfer quarterbacks both places, though. Here, you mentioned the when the big school plays the Power Six school and goes there, Mississippi State at Southern Miss.
Yeah.
How about that? How about this?
And Southern hired Huff from Marshall, and he brought like half his team.
How about Go Cats, Northwestern, and Tulane? Interested in that one?
I'm more interested to see what Tulane's doing, like, at quarterback. Because I don't think they're going to start Ratzliff, but, like, at the same time, how are they going to be itching to try and make that transition?
Get him in there. Yeah. You got Utah, UCLA. I mean, the games are just ridiculous. One good game after another. UTSA versus A&M. A lot of these are games of interest if you're a Memphis fan to see what the other schools in your conference will be like. I don't know that Ole Miss or Arkansas are particularly interesting this week. Then Sunday we have...
Well, I mean, on Saturday, if I'm Kansas State, I'm not super itching to come back from Ireland after a tough loss and then play frickin' North Dakota. Like... oh, you're going to give me one of the good FCS teams?
Give me a fist fight, Jeff.
Right, when I'm licking my wounds.
You're right. Speaking of fist fights, yeah, no.
Could be a fight between the families.
Yes, exactly. And then Sunday, we got Notre Dame-Miami.
Well, in the Beamer Bowl.
And you got the Beamer Bowl, Virginia. I mean, the game, it is an unbelievable week, people. This is I don't know that there will be a better week this year, much less for week one. Yeah, you got the Beamer Bowl, Virginia Tech and South Carolina on Sunday. And then you got Notre Dame-Miami, and then we got Belichick.
Yeah. That's our dessert? Sign me up.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Great fun. We do have the news. We're going to do Fight Song Roundup in the next segment. We did have the news, Jeffrey, though, that Memphis is having walk-on tryouts, which is not something you normally see the weekend before.
No. This is usually something that happens like right before practice starts.
Right. Walk-on tryouts. Fill out form for more details. Must be a current University of Memphis student. Must be a defensive back. Must have a physical, copy of a physical within the past 6 months. Must have a physical, copy of sickle cell test results. That is to, you fill out the form, you got walk-on tryouts for defensive backs. Gabe retweeted that and said, we can all agree this isn't good news. But I would ask you, Jeffrey, is it really bad news? Obviously, they had the injury last week, or we learned about the injury last week. They didn't have it last week to one of their better defensive backs. They're not going to be starting some guy who's working at the Holiday Inn.
It's only bad news if we look up in the next 2 weeks and one of these guys is starting. If we're talking about somebody that maybe can help out on like kickoff coverage or give him some depth in practice, like, yeah, I'm with you. Like,
I think it's mostly depth at practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
You need bodies. Yeah.
You are not looking for your starting safety.
I most certainly hope not.
If so,
I am open to the idea this isn't bad news.
If so, though, it would suggest that Ryan didn't spend his money well, right? You're like, I'll buy one of these.
Or that the money that he spent, like, it got hurt.
Right. I got nothing left for defensive backs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta buy depth, too. I mean, I think we can agree it's not good news, but I don't think it's...
I'm with you. I do not take this. I don't take this as like they're trying to find some starters from the quad.
A cynic suggested to me, Jeffrey, that it was trying to establish an excuse early.
I view it as kind of like...
I think they legit want walk-ons. I think they legit need practice fodder. That's what I think.
I think they need bodies. part of the reason you do this is because in practice you don't want to have to be like playing your starters on the scout team because... You don't have enough depth. You're looking for some guys that can give a look to your starting offense.
All right. We are going to take a break. We'll come back and do the fight song roundup in the other side. Before then, I will remind you, if you need to get spruced up for this first real week of football, get yourself to Oak Hall. I was talking to Paul from Oak Hall. They, of course, have the Peter Millar.
Listen, you might need a quarter zip for this weekend, Jeff.
You're going to need a quarter zip. You're going to need a quarter zip.
You don't think it, but you might.
They got quarter zips and hoodies in NCAA official collegiate colors, NCAA registered colors for Memphis and Ole Miss and Tennessee and Alabama and Arkansas. They got all that. So you're going to want to look good in your first tailgate. Like, it's fall, but kind of, right? We know summer's coming back, too. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need shorts. You're gonna need shorts. You know you're gonna need shorts. Don't fool yourself. It's false fall. That's what they call this. You're gonna need shorts for another month and a half, Jeffrey. So whether you're wearing red up top or blue up top or whatever it is, you're gonna need a fresh pair of shorts.
You really think you're getting through September without shorts?
you're gonna need shorts. And it's the same fabulous people who helped you through Christmas and Father's Day and all the other great seasons of the year. A legendary store. We're just lucky to have them in Memphis, and no better time than getting in there this week to get ready for this weekend. All right, Fight Song Roundup on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeff, you remember the other day we had a guy call in, and he was he had gotten his engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, and I'd written about him. And now, mind you, that was the Tony Pollard returning kickoff returns, and he ended up. You got your engagement ring free if the first kick had been whatever. It was ridiculous. Who wouldn't be happy about that kind of a ring? But my point is, Robert Owen Jewelers has been making people happy for a long, long time. And listen, you may not get your ring free this football season. Okay, you won't, but you get the meant to be guarantee. You still get the meant to be guarantee, and that means if you buy your loose diamond or custom made engagement ring at Robert Owen Jewelers, you have 365 days to return it. Listen, it is a nerve-wracking purchase. Buying your engagement ring, and I can tell you, I did it wrong. I knew a guy. Well, actually, it was a friend of my bride's knew a guy, and could get me a good deal, and I fell for it up until the moment we took in to get it appraised, and. And so whatever your nervousness is, will she like it? Is it going to be beautiful? Is it the right color? Is it the right color? Like all of the stuff that you might worry about. Well, first of all, you walk in there and as soon as they walk you through the process, your mind will be at ease. But it does help to know you've got the 365-day meant-to-be guarantee. As I said, if you can dream it, they can do it. You walk on in with a picture or an idea, they can create it. The financing options are fabulous. 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. They've been here in Memphis for more than four decades. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged anytime soon in this holiday season, time creeps up on you faster than you'd think. You'd be silly not to get yourself to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers or online at rijewelers.com. Jeffrey, let's do the fight song roundup.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me.
Maybe it wasn't such a good idea for Kansas State to give up a home game to go to Ireland. Jeffrey, what do you think?
You know, I just, watching this game, I just kind of tipped my cap. I was like, I'm watching Kansas State on both lines of scrimmage kind of dominate the game, but they're unable to cash in. And you just sit there and you go, you know what? That's kind of what Iowa State football is. Like, you're not really sure how they're doing this at times, but they are. And then in the second half, I thought Rocco Beck, it became a blitz fest, and Rocco Beck just had every answer for every Kansas State blitz.
Well, and including, you know, down the stretch, they went for it inside, you know, and salted the game away. Nice little pass into the flat. I mean, they obviously it was a sloppy mess. The rain didn't help. Turnovers everywhere. Watching that, and I don't know what your MUS Bartlett football game. Watching that, was that sloppiness week one? Was that sloppiness?
I thought it was more rain.
The rain. Does the sloppiness? We flew to Ireland, and you know we're doing this here. What you think? It was the rain.
I thought it was mainly the rain because in the second half, when the rain kind of subsided, it started to get to be a pretty exciting game where guys were making plays. You know, there were some explosive plays to be had, but I really thought early it was just the rain.
You went 1-1 on your bets.
and you put your faith in the state of Kansas, and bloody Kansas has been divided for a long time, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. It probably can't really always rely on Kansas.
No.
You felt okay about picking K-State, given the way, I mean, obviously it didn't work out for you. But
I mean, you look at it in these terms. Kansas State averaged 6.7 yards per play. Iowa State averaged 4.2. Typically, when you see that disparity, and
they win.
Yes. I mean, to me, I thought this game came down to the fourth down where I think Avery Johnson got the first down. I also don't think there was anything that you could say he for sure got it. So I wasn't losing my mind that they didn't call it a first down.
And then, of course, Avery Johnson's father and brother get in a fist fight.
Yep.
After the game, they've since released a joint statement, Jeffrey, about the fist fight. They find it lamentable. Are you surprised they find it lamentable? Here's what they said. We sincerely apologize for our actions following yesterday's football game in Ireland. Senseless bickering escalated into an unnecessary fight. We have resolved our differences and take full responsibility for our actions. We have apologized to our immediate and extended family and now extend our apologies to Kansas State University, its alumni, and fans. We regret this incident, have learned from it, and are committed to ensuring it doesn't happen again. Please accept our deepest apologies. What do you think they were fighting about?
I'm sure emotions were high after the game, and then, you know, I'm sure there's some back and forth. My thing is, with it being a father-son, like, I just don't really care. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, every family's different, right?
Yeah.
And the notion that I would ever have a fist fight with my father is so far beyond my imagining that families are different. And then, you know, you hear about, I never had a fist fight with one of my brothers. I have four brothers. Never had a fist fight with one of my four brothers. So, but then other families are like, you know what? They'd be fighting one day and loving on each other in the next minute.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, to me, it's just like, this is a way different story than if they get into a fight with, like, random Kansas State fans. That's when it starts to me, it's like, listen, it's like, I have no idea what their family dynamic is, but.
What percent of American fathers of sons have had a fist fight with each other?
Oh, boy. I definitely think you're right in the sense of what makes it different is father-son versus brothers.
Brother would be, what percent of brothers fist fight? Well over 60, 70%?
Yeah, I'm like you. It's like I didn't
you
really
ever
get into
fight one of your brothers.
No, but I was always smaller. My middle brother's like massive. I'm not fighting him.
Brothers, I think fist fight. I don't think fathers and son typically fist fight. Under 10%. I'm saying under 10% of fathers and sons have engaged in a fist fight.
Probably. That sounds about right. I mean, you're starting to get into some real deep psychological analysis when you get into a certain point.
It's just crazy. You wonder who was like, I think probably someone wouldn't shut up, you know?
Yes.
Someone was going on and on about whatever. Maybe it was that fourth down, you know, whatever else. And the other person just wanted to be left alone to stew in their misery, right? Because people react to losses differently.
I'm going
to
go out on a limb and guess that the blood alcohol content was not 0.0.
And the blood alcohol was high. There's exactly right. And so then one guy just said, shut, I don't want to. And then they just snapped.
Yeah.
And the guy who was silent, who wanted to just be left alone, took a poke at the other guy.
Yeah.
I think it was probably the father finally took a poke at the son.
I mean, can we also need to be thankful?
No son starts it.
It was great video.
It was a great video.
Like, we should be thankful. We got some content out of this.
I guess we should be thankful. The other thing that strikes me is it's just kind of a Big 12 game.
Yep.
Like, who is better than anyone else in the Big 12? Like, that is a conference, for good or ill. If you like parody, that is a conference where you tell me. Like, who is head and shoulders? Who is the Ohio State or the Texas or whatever else of that conference? There is no one.
I mean, I guess we'll see with Texas Tech. They're supposed to be. But I'm at the point where it's like, I don't know if just buying a portal team this year, like, I don't think the portal was as fruitful as it has been in years past.
Well, all right. That's the Iowa State fight song. We played that before, I take it, Jeffrey?
We have. That was in the system.
All right. Next up. This is a Kansas fight song, ladies and gentlemen. Kansas prevails over Fresno State 31-7 as they open up the booth, Jeffrey. That's what they call it. One of my college roommates lives in Lawrence. He went to the game. I called him as he was headed off to the game. People raving about the new stadium.
I mean, they were fired up for this game.
They were fired up. And Lance Leipold's done a good job. I mean, Kansas used to be the joke of all jokes, you know?
Absolutely.
And Jalen Daniels is really good at 18-20, 176, three touchdowns. Your faith in the Sunflower State was sustained. Emotional Kansas team wins this one. Your thoughts?
I think that Kansas, we're going to find out that last year, them basically not having a home game and having to play in Kansas City might have had a little bit more to do with them being a little bit disappointing. I mean, they are a problem on offense. Like, they are going to put you in some really tough spots. Now, even though they win 31-7, I wasn't, like, in love with their defense. But to me, I'm a little concerned with where the Mountain West is in the pecking order. Like, those two teams did not look like the same thing from a roster standpoint.
Well, and you just wonder... Well, you wonder, honestly, like, even when it comes to Memphis, what's the Memphis roster going to be like relative to the rosters? Now, you're only competing against in your own conference.
But, so like, when we see Arkansas, like, is it going to look similar or is it going to look like there's still a difference?
Now, sometimes when Memphis was played Ole Miss, they looked similar. Sometimes when Memphis played Ole Miss in the past, they looked different, right?
Yep. Like, and they've won in both styles of games.
That depends on the year.
Yeah.
But you do wonder if that difference that you're seeing with Kansas and Fresno State will also trickle down and the Memphis, you know, to Memphis. Is it a Mountain West issue or is it?
I think it's a Mountain West issue because even a school like Fresno that has a lot of community support, there's a difference between having a good fan base and being able to like fund a roster.
Speaking of not being in love with the defense, let's play the next one, Jeffrey. UNLV. 38, with Idaho State, Stan Mullins' debut. Idaho State gets 31. That's 1AA, Idaho State 31. Weirdly enough, UNLV gave up 555 yards, but four picks. So
they got the stops when they needed them, Jeff.
They got the stops when they needed them, right.
Also, Dan Mullen is always just going to find a second big bruising quarterback that he's going to run like 250 times a year. Alex Orji, come on down. Like, Calandria is clearly his quarterback, but like, Orji, hey, buddy, you're going to be my power package, and I am going to get everything out of you.
And he's always going to have that. Are you optimistic about the Dan Mullen era?
Yeah, I think Dan's still a good coach. I mean, because remember we were talking about whether or not to like add this to the card on week zero. I was like, you know, Dan has a history early of kind of experimenting, like not much. I like Dan much more as an underdog than I do as like a massive favorite.
All right, we got to blow someone up. We're not doing the full fight song roundup. It was a thin card. This one, Jeffrey, you thought about taking Hawaii. And your discipline prevented you from taking
Hawaii. And I'm glad, even though it quote unquote would have hit, I'm still glad with the decision I made. Yeah.
Hey, well, have we played the Hawaii fight song before?
Let's see.
Ever?
I don't see it on the list. I don't see it on my page of.
Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a new one. New one.
Well, no, we're blowing up Stanford.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's a lost opportunity. We're blowing up Stanford. All right, hit the Stanford fight scene. Yeah, Hawaii wins 23-20. And the Jeffrey, you told us that Stanford was going to be terrible, and sure enough, Stanford is terrible.
Why did Stanford ever throw a pass?
We got no answers for that.
Like, there,
that interception that set up Hawaii's
so bad.
Was literally maybe one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen.
And they were just running it right down their throat.
It was ridiculous. Goldbrunson rolls out, guy standing right in front of him, and it was ridiculous. I don't have any idea what the... You would think they would be smarter at Stanford, would you not?
I mean, like, your running backs were dominating the game. Why? And I know they'd sit there and go, well, we thought it was a safe pass. It's like, no, you're calling a pass with Goldbrunson. Like, it's not safe.
I did enjoy the story about the
kicker.
About the kicker.
Learning to kick on YouTube.
Kensei Matsuzawa from Japan. He teaches himself how to kick by watching YouTube. It's Jason Myers, Seahawks kicker Jason Myers, was the YouTube instructor. Practices in a local park. Sends out highlight videos to more than 50 colleges. Gets an invitation to kick from, and I'm sure you're familiar with Hocking College.
Of course.
In Nelsonville, Ohio.
Yeah, it's always in Ohio, yeah.
Becomes a kickoff specialist at Hocking.
I had no idea that Ohio had junior college.
Works his way up to being the main kicker, and sure enough, finds himself with 2 seconds left, kicking the winning field goal. That's America. That's America, Jeffrey. Hawaii wins 23-20. So there you go. Were you tempted to blow up anyone else, Jeffrey? Were you anyone else you wanted to blow up today?
No, because like even though Western Kentucky beat Sam Houston State, like I thought Sam Houston State acquitted themselves pretty nicely. They fell behind. They fought back. Like I thought that was a decently played game. And you know, Kansas State loses, but did I sit there and go like you should blow them up? Like no. Like Iowa State made some big plays. Like that was a hard fought game.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk to Chris Harrington on the other side. Then we got the NFL to talk about as we got cuts. Starting to roll in. Got to be done by tomorrow. But there have already been some cuts, some last-minute trades, and, of course, some drama from the Sanders family.
Of course.
To talk about. We'll do that in the second hour. Before that, I will tell you that if you are selling your home, this is a very tricky market in which to sell your home. And you might be tempted when you get one of these unsolicited cash offers. Would you sell your house? We'll buy your house. Cash offer, whatever. It comes in. Some of them come on your phone. They come in by text. They come by email, whatever else. Don't answer them. Listen, the convenience of that, I get it. And there is reason to explore this option. But if you want to explore the option, do it with Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Because Josh is a local guy. He'll come out to your home and he'll give you a full price offer for your home. You know all those other folks are just trying to lowball you, trying to take advantage of the fact that you know the market is a little stressful right now. Josh will come out. He will, no need for repairs or anything else. He will tell you what your house is worth and then give you 4 months to move out, up to 4 months to move out. It's Josh Heisaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.